Coming up on this week's Golf Digest podcast, we talk about Max Homa's surprising win in the Wells Fargo Championship, talk about the perfect format for your wedding golf tournament, and catch up with three-time major champion Brooks Koepka.
My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
Well, why do they even have one if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
What is this, custom? Mine's off the rack.
I wish Tiger Woods was here to help me with this.
We'll do it live!
Welcome back to the Golf Digest podcast. This is Sam Wyman filling in for Alex Myers this week. I'm joined by Keely Levins and a very hungover Steve Hennessy. Let's get that right out of the way right now. Just lower expectations for you, Steve.
It's all relative.
Yes, it's all relative. Anyway, please drink responsibly, by the way.
I love that you're not even going to say, like, it was his bachelor party. It's like a very legit reason to be hungover. It's just,
weekend.
Oh, it's Monday. Steve's hungover.
I think it's understood.
Context would come later. But anyway, again, we're without Alex this week. He'll be back next week, and we're sad to be without him. But a lot happened. It's funny because a week or so ago, we thought we'd be talking about Tiger Woods and the Wells Fargo Championship. Then over the weekend, we thought we'd be talking about Rory McIlroy winning the Wells Fargo Championship. And instead, we're talking about Max Homa winning the Wells Fargo Championship, which, believe it or not, was a great story. So, Keely, why should we feel good about Max Homa winning the Wells Fargo?
I mean, his Twitter account alone is a good reason to feel good about him. I mean, he's hilarious. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you absolutely should. But it's hard for me to like use the word journeyman when you're talking about a 28-year-old, but he really has had this like long, difficult, you know, track through the PGA or to the PGA Tour. He was, you know, struggling on the web.com. There very recently he was ranked like 1,000th in the world, and even coming into this week he wasn't in the top 400. I think that breakthrough win could just be a sign of like more good things to come, because he looked legit out there. Like, it didn't look like his first win.
I mean, it's worth noting that his first go around on the PGA Tour 2017, he missed 15 of 17 cuts.
Woof.
So then he goes into this weekend and then into Sunday, he's got the lead, but then they have a stoppage in play where through 14 holes. And if ever there was an opportunity for a guy to collapse and kind of remember where he is and what this means for his career, it's that. And Steve, he doesn't. So what does that tell you about the type of player he is?
Yeah, the fact he's such a high caliber of player, and he was in college at Cal, you know, came out, you know, with high expectations, was in the same class as Jon Rahm, outplayed him in U.S. Amateur and different tournaments. So the expectations were high, and he hadn't done anything really until now. And the fact, you know, you have your 54-hole lead, even a top 10 finish at this point would have been a great result for him. But he, you know, he showed how nerves of steel to get it done under pressure. And, you know, Justin Rose is there. Rory McIlroy's there. It's not like it was, you know,
Sergio Garcia had a good weekend.
Yeah, some stars up there to hold off, and a tough golf course to do that at Quail Hollow. You really have to play good golf, and he did, and to win the way he did was ultra impressive.
You know what's amazing is we always have these discussions or we have these thoughts about, oh my God, if I was in that situation, I would be thinking about A, B, and C. And what we keep going back to is the fact that a PGA Tour player, and really a professional athlete, is just cut from a different cloth than the rest of us. They don't think like us. But the amazing thing about Max Homa, Keely, you mentioned his Twitter account, is he does think like the rest of us. He's had kind of amazing pockets of self-doubt, and he's very self-deprecating. So he is a guy that entertains all these thoughts about, you know, I don't belong out here, I shouldn't be doing it. He talked about, like, kind of being separate from guys on the range. And if he played in the Masters, he would throw up all over himself on the first tee, which
I'm so glad they resurfaced that tweet.
Yeah.
Great.
He's a really entertaining guy, and he's a guy who you know, provides a very truthful window into what a tour player thinks. So to overcome all of that and win is amazing. And it's a great story. And he's the type of guy that, you know, those of us in golf media would like love to see him sort of continue and be a relevant player, because he's so colorful and so introspective. It's so welcome.
Yeah, an interesting guy too. You know, I think after the win, it was telling that like all of golf Twitter, that, you know, very inside niche group, but everyone was so happy for him because he's a nice guy, interesting guy, and had such a solid background that, you know, he's gotten over that hump now. And to get your first win, you know, now who knows what's next for him, but he's gotten over that toughest hump.
Right.
To win on tour.
He's got some job security now. I mean, all those things that go with a win. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, a top 10 would have been great. Now he's talking about 2 years of being out here. And certainly, you know, was an elite amateur player. And we talk about, like, was kind of mentioned in the same breath as Justin Thomas and Jon Rahm. And, mm-hmm. and it just took him a bit longer to get there. So it's pretty remarkable. Now, I mentioned before that we thought we'd be talking about Rory McIlroy, in the sense that, you know, over the weekend had a great start. Steve, you do our weekly gambling column. I think like four of our six sort of experts had picked Rory to win. They looked pretty smart.
His track record, you know, so good at Quail Hollow. He, you know, won twice, bunch of top fives. So that was the expectation going into the weekend. This is going to be his tournament.
Right, but we should know better. Even coming off the Players when he had, you know, he finally kind of delivered, but more times than not, the story with Rory this year, and it was again kind of reverting to this form, is three very impressive days, and then if not just standing still on Sunday, actually moving backwards, and he moved backwards, shot 73, and never really was in contention from kind of like the eighth hole on.
Yeah, some poor chip shots. The 10th hole, he double bogeyed the par five. I mean, that really took him out of it. And a place where he's so comfortable, it fits his eye, tee to green, it demands power off the tee and into the greens, and that's his game. That's why he's played so well at Quail Hollow. And you know, even given all of his disappointment this year, and you know, come on, he won the Players. He has eight of his nine top ten, eight of his nine starts have been top ten. So mm-hmm. he's had one of the best seasons of anyone on tour, but still probably should have won at least three times.
So and that raises the question we've been asking internally, and it's been asked as well, you know, kind of on social media and elsewhere, is given that he did win the Players, which is, you know, the second biggest tournament that's been played so far this year, and he's had so many high finishes, to what extent should he be given a pass for having an off week?
I know, it's conversations about Rory, I feel like they get so confusing so quickly because expectations are incredibly high for him, and they always have been, because he's just so obviously amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, he has every single, it looks like, he has every single tool that you could possibly need to be a dominant golfer. And so when he does well, he's just living up to what is expected of him. And then when he does poorly, it just shines really mm-hmm. brightly, which is unfortunate because I think the conversations become far more negative than they should be. And it just makes me wonder if, like, we're doing him a disservice, like golf media, by talking about him as being, you know, capable of so much more than he's doing. And I mean,
to one degree, like, his expectations are definitely to win every time he's in these positions. Like, mm-hmm. he expected to get the job done yesterday. He's looking up at a leaderboard that was Max Homa, Joel Dahmen, and Jason Duffner.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be fair in his eyes for us to ask these questions. But in reality, you're right. I mean, you know, he's still had a great year, and maybe it is a little unfair to expect him to get it done every time, but that's the talented level of golf that we're talking about.
I keep going, and I'm an unapologetic Rory fan, because for all the reasons you described, because he's such a fun player to watch.
I think we all
when such he's an, on, yeah. he's who's more fun to watch? Right. Like,
but I did make fun, it was a few weeks ago, I forget which tournament it was prior to the Players, where it was PGA Tour put out that video of this little kid who came to watch him, and he was sort of waiting to meet Rory after the round, and the kid was crying because Rory lost. And Rory
after
goes,
another,
after another, and Rory goes, "No, it's okay. It was a good week," you know. And I made fun of it because it's like that's the modern tour pro being okay with losing, which is a cheap shot by me. I admit that, but it sort of speaks to the idea that to his fans, to everyone else, the expectation is that you should be winning because you're Rory and you're in a good position to win on Sunday, and you fall short. And I do think part of the self-preservation of being a tour player like Rory is you do say, yes, it was a good week. Sunday did not go the way I'd want to, but I can't be too disappointed because a lot of other guys finished, you know, 12 shots back, 15 shots back. So. Right. All right, moving on. Let's talk quickly about the LPGA Tour because that actually had the more exciting finish this week. It was the LPGA Mediheal Championship at Lake Merced, which is right next to the Olympic Club in Harding Park in Northern California. And it was Se-young Kim winning in a three-player playoff. So,
yeah.
And
it looked like it should have been a total, like, a playoff shouldn't even happen. I mean, mm-hmm. Se-young was leading by either two or three going into the final round. And I remember saying to John, I was like, oh, I could just write the gamer right now. Like, she's so automatic. Like, she's going to blow everyone out of the water. She starts double bogey, bogey. All of a sudden, the entire field is in play, including Bronte Law, mm-hmm. who, like, probably no one has heard of because
she started the final round 10 shots back.
10 shots back. She, like, shot 65, had to change her flight because all of a sudden she's waiting 3 hours and then jumping in a playoff, which Sejong ultimately won. But, I mean, it was a crazy day for a day that I honestly thought was going to be very boring.
Right.
And the interesting thing also that came out of the LPGA Tour this week that we talked a little bit about was Lexi Thompson kind of had another – I don't know what you want to call it, a post on social media in which she said she needs to take a break, that she's sort of fielding so much negative energy online. And she first said, I'm taking a break, and then she came back later and clarified, her management group came back with a statement mm-hmm. to clarify that it was not directly related to a post she had about playing golf with Donald Trump. So, long story short, what is going on with Lexi Thompson?
I mean,
you don't know.
We're
no
all
one
just
knows.
Guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, let me text her. No, I honestly, like, I think a lot of people can relate to someone needing a break from social media. Like, there is so much negative energy out there, and people just think they can say whatever you want because of the anonymity of it. And I don't think it would be very easy to play golf when you're, like, super cued into hundreds of people, like, talking shit about you online. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't blame her at all. I would just, like, turn off my comments and post whatever I want.
At least when we talk shit about you, we try to do it where you don't see the comments.
Yeah,
so, like,
exactly.
That we're at least respectful.
Like Slack DMs.
Right.
Like, yeah, exactly.
So I get it. It's tough.
But yeah, I mean, it's tough when you vulture into any part of a political landscape. So you're probably going to get comments.
Right.
You know, she just played golf with the president of the United States.
Right.
You know, that's what she did, and you know, a lot of people were upset
right.
about that, so, and that's to be understood in this political climate. So you know, plus all the other feedback she must get, you know, she's mm-hmm. a 24-year-old with a million Twitter
right.
or Instagram followers.
Yeah,
I wouldn't blame her at all for doing this.
And that's a tough thing, because, like, they need their social media. Like, there's such great value for, like, all of her sponsors and whatever. So, like, she's in a tough spot.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's kind of the double-edged sword of the world all, you know, all these players live in, is that, you know, the social media is such an important vehicle, both because it's just part of, you know, it's part of our lives just organically. Like, we like to be on it. We like to engage. But also, from a business standpoint, so many of these players use social media to grow their brand, grow their profile. And, you know, if you could be assured that it would be 100% positive, that would be great. But unfortunately, when you know, venture into those waters, it can get negative in a hurry. And now you're talking about a player who kind of has the same dynamic as Rory, which is, you mm-hmm. know, sets high expectations. People are going to be all over you if you don't win, you know, multiple times in a year. And it just invites all kinds of scrutiny. And you know, it's just a lot for anyone to handle, let alone someone who's still pretty young. And you know, if you're at all sensitive, which I would certainly be, it's a tough spot. So anyway, we hope she gets herself to a better place, and you know, maybe, I don't know, deletes her. I don't know what we wish for in those situations, but something like that. So speaking of social media, another worthwhile, because you did have a conversation with Brooks Koepka today, which was not part of it, but another chapter in the Brooks Koepka Brandel Chamblee saga, which is Brandel Chamblee in a podcast interview talks about who are the sort of the top challengers to Tiger Woods these days, and he mentions Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy are the two players who likely could hang with him. No mention of a certain player who has won three majors in the last three of the last what is it
seven
three of the last right. seven majors,
and could have won the
could
Masters
have won
too.
The
could
Masters.
Have won four
the
last
I mean,
seven
like,
I mean, that's a historically dominant stretch.
Yeah.
Body blows.
Yeah.
It's just, ugh.
Now, we should be mutually, or I should say, we should be doubly happy that he's giving us fodder to talk about, because it's so great. And I do think he's too smart. Brandel Chamblee is a very sharp guy. So he's too astute an observer of the game and too knowledgeable to not realize who he was leaving out when he has that discussion.
Right. And knowing that just, you know, a month before the Masters, he called Koepka's decision to lose weight, you know, the most reckless sabotage.
Self-sabotage.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he questions his toughness, which was, it's amazing.
Right.
I mean, again, as people who work in golf media, this is like manna from the heavens. Like, we're so grateful that he's giving us discussion. But I do think it's becoming like a self-fulfilling prophecy where he just sort of does it just to see what kind of reaction
he can't get. Help himself to a degree. But, you know, good for Koepka to, you know, kind of speak back. And he's become this guy now who's a little, not outspoken, but he has some strong opinions in golf. And I don't know if people would have necessarily expected that from him because he just, you know, the guy who dominates on the golf course. But, you know, now he is, you know, putting himself out there with some smart takes.
I agree. So, you know, you were mentioning that he sort of chimed back, which was he posted a photo of Randall with a clown's nose, which was a nice touch. And it was his way of saying, like, come on, enough of this already. But, you know, you're right. Like, Koepka, you know, there are guys who have sort of been spurned by the media and haven't gotten their credit because they lack personality. You can't say that about Koepka.
Right.
He's got plenty of personality. I mean, you spoke with him this morning, so you can get to that in a second. But, like, you know, the guy's spoken his mind. He's put himself out there. I mean, he posts pictures or his girlfriend posts pictures of them canoodling on vacation. So, you know, like, you can't say he's a dullard. Like, not to pick on Vijay Singh, but when Vijay Singh was kind of number one player in the world for a period, kind of 2004 era, you know, one of the knocks against him was he didn't let anyone in. There was not a great story to tell. He just liked to practice a lot. Well, you can't. There's a lot of stories to tell about Brooks Koepka. So for some reason, though, he's invited this criticism. And again, it feeds off itself.
Yeah. No, I talked to him this morning. We didn't talk about Brandel. We didn't have quite enough time to get into all that. I think that would be an interesting conversation.
Right.
But yeah, he was here in New York doing a promotion with one of his sponsors, Michelob Ultra. And I think he's about to become like the most popular guy in New York because he hit a shot onto a moving barge. And now everyone in New York is going to get a free beer.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, yeah, right?
Where do we sign up?
Wow.
Steve, I think you've had enough for that. Let's
hair the dog. Hair the
derby mode still.
Come on.
But yeah, it was really cool to get to chat with him about like the Masters, and it's interesting to see him like come back to New York after last summer. Like, he has so many like positive vibes here in New York after Shinnecock, and at the same time, he's like kind of a completely different player or person in a lot of ways, and I feel like the tour is completely different too, even though that win was so recent. So it was cool to hear him talk about what the tour is like now that Tiger is back, and we got into some of the stuff about his diet. That was a big topic of conversation at the Masters.
He talked about how he mentioned that one of the kind of buried headlines was that he says he hasn't been to the gym
in five weeks.
Oh my God.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe like parsing words, like maybe he's like going on at home Peloton studio or something like that.
Yeah, right. Just like little, only like, body
define
weight.
Gym.
Yeah.
I mean, does he really not work out in 5 weeks, which is amazing because, again, the guy is a physical specimen.
And I think that's such a difficult thing. Like, the gym is such a big part of his routine. And, like, when you're a professional athlete, like, your routine is, like, everything. And now he's taken away this three-hour chunk of every day.
Right.
And he was kind of funny when he was talking about like what he's been filling his time with.
Right.
But yeah, no, it was really cool to get to know Brooks a little bit and like see some more of his personality.
All right, well, let's go to that interview with Keeley and Brooks Koepka now. Before we go on, let me talk for a second about Golf Digest Schools. Golf Digest Schools is our new cutting-edge video instruction platform offering more than 250 classes on every part of the game and featuring the leading teachers in golf, from Butch Harmon to David Ledbetter to Michael Breed. Unlike the quick tips you can find across the internet, these are full game improvement programs meant to be followed step by step as if you were working with a pro. It's like Masterclass meets Netflix, but even better because there's the added promise of feedback. To sign up for Golf Digest Schools, go to golfdigest.com/allaccess and use promo code SCHOOLS to get 30% off an annual subscription. Again, golfdigest.com/allaccess and use promo code SCHOOLS.
Brooks, welcome back to New York. It must be so much fun for you to be here after having won the U.S. Open at Shinnecock last year. What have you been up to since you've been in New York?
It's been fun. I came out here with Michelob Ultra, came out to Governor's Island, and tried to hit a shot onto the barge and was able to do so. So that was fun. It was a cool little kickoff, you know, fun little way to get New Yorkers excited about the PGA Championship.
I think a pretty easy way for you to, like, get a lot of new fans, too, free beer.
Yeah. When people get beer, that's always a good thing. And luckily, New York has that now.
Awesome. So have you, I assume you've been over to Bethpage since you've been here?
I have not.
Oh, really?
I didn't go over to go check it out. So it was, I'd love to get there, but I got to play this week, so
yeah.
Focus on that this week, and then when I get there next week, just do all the prep.
You'll be there very soon.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the quick turnaround from the Masters, like basically right into the PGA, does that help you since you're such a great player in the majors?
I think so. It's all about if you're going to get hot. I think the way they set it up now, with having all the majors so close, you know, in a four and a half month span, if you get hot, you know, you can make that hot streak run for a long time, and you can rattle off all four majors and have a good result in most of them if you get on that hot streak, and that's what everybody wants to do. So they want to play well in the majors and win them.
Definitely. It seems like so much has changed. Like, you've changed a lot, and even just the PGA Tour has changed a lot since you won in Shinnecock. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, how much is the Tour different now that, like, Tiger's back and he's won? What's that been like?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody can see it if they've been at the events over the past couple of years, and then you go to it now. The amount of people that just show up, the support that's there, you know, it's the excitement's back in golf, and I think it's good for us. It's good for us as players. It's good for the fans. It's good for the sponsors. It's good for everybody, and you know, it's good to see that. I think us as players, we all knew that he was back a while before I think anybody else. And now he's just showing the rest of the world he's back.
How do you balance the, like, understanding that having Tiger win is great for the game, but at the same time, like, you obviously want to beat him?
Yeah, no, I mean, of course. I mean, second's no fun.
Of course.
But at the same time, you know, I think I said earlier, it's you just kind of, you know, appreciate what's kind of in front of you sometimes. And, mm-hmm. you know, if a guy beats you and you play really well, there's nothing you can do. You can't be too upset. You just got to shake his hand and say congrats. And that's exactly what happened at Augusta. You know, I hit a shot that was good, I thought, on 12. And, you know, the wind kind of switched and mm-hmm. the ball balloons and goes in the water. And, I mean, that happens. I mean, if four out of six guys have the ball in the water, it doesn't just
come. That was insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's not anything other than just the wind. Wind popping up. I mean, I backed off because it was down off the left, and then it came into off the left as the ball was climbing. You could see it. It was just climbing the wind and just started drifting to the right. But, you know, we all know you just hit it at the center of the green. We're all trying to do it. You just don't execute it, or, you know, the wind switches like it did. And, you know, there's no four to six guys just don't fold under pressure like that.
It doesn't
have anything to do with that. It's a tough golf hole. And, you know, things can make you look stupid.
No, you guys didn't look stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, it can make you look, I mean, I've seen guys miss it short of the water there.
Yeah.
And I've seen guys miss it 30 yards long, so.
Absolutely.
I mean, being professional, you don't really miss it that badly that often, but that hole will make your head spin for sure.
Definitely. How are you feeling after the Masters? It was such a big topic of conversation, like your diet. How are you feeling now?
I feel good. Yeah, okay. I mean, I was sick there right at the Players' Championship, mm-hmm. so I was losing weight a little bit quicker than what I probably should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But we got everything figured out and healthy again. It feels good, you know, and on a good track. I like where my weight's at, my body's at. I feel good mm-hmm. physically, mentally, and that's where you want to be.
Yeah, definitely. You said that you had been on, like, a much more restricted diet. Is there anything back in your diet now that you were, like, really missing?
No, not really. You know, the only thing that's changed over the last 5 weeks is I really just haven't gone to the gym as much.
Okay.
I really haven't been, to be honest with you, the last 5 weeks.
Wow, that must be so weird for you.
It was nice. It's relaxing for as much time as, you know, you put all your effort into it.
Yeah.
And then you kind of... take some time off from it. It's enjoyable to kind of sit back and relax, and it's kind of weird being at tournaments and all of a sudden you got a whole bunch of free time where
you spend
2-3 hours in the gym.
What do you do? Did you pick up, like, yoga or something?
No, I literally just haven't done any activity. It's been a lot of trying to just relax, recover.
Okay.
Just hanging out, watching a lot of TV, watching, you know, other sports. Trying to stay busy, you know, whether it be going out for a walk, doing something.
Okay. What do you like to watch?
Me? I'll watch anything that's on TV. I'm a big sports guy.
Oh, really?
I watch a lot of sports. A lot of trash TV.
What kind of trash TV?
Yeah. you want to go in there? Yeah. We'll go there. Yeah. A bunch of reality TV is kind of,
like what?
Yeah,
like,
I watch
like
anything on Bravo. No,
okay.
God, no, that's
okay.
Awful. That's awful. I don't know. I'm watching The Bachelor. That's bad. I watch anything on Bravo.
Okay.
I told somebody earlier, what was it, Summer House, Vanderpump Rules, I watch all that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
all
no,
of
like,
it, okay.
Literally, I literally could sit at home and watch Bravo for about 6 hours.
Oh, well, that'll totally fill your day. Yeah, you don't need the gym,
no,
you're on
Bravo. You can get sucked down that wormhole pretty quick.
Okay. That's awesome. So one other question. I saw that Justin Thomas had his wedges printed. One of them said Brooks Koepka's money.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah, so we got a little bit of a wager going on where anytime you hole out over a certain distance, it increases. And I think he's holed out twice. He made a hole-in-one at Augusta, which killed me.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then he did one at the Honda, and I haven't holed out yet, so I'm waiting.
I'm waiting, man.
To hole out.
All right, well, I hope that you hole out soon.
I know. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for coming.
You got it.
Okay, thanks to Brooks Koepka for joining us, and great job by Keely. Which time did you get up this morning to go do that?
I woke up at 4 a.m., guys.
Okay.
So...
Well,
I'm feeling pretty good about
really
myself.
Good. How much coffee so far?
I've had 4 cups so far.
We'll now pause for Keely to go to the bathroom. Okay, so speaking of Keely, it's worth noting this is Keely's last podcast before a certain event comes next week in which you will be walking down the aisle and getting married. So I'm getting a little overclamped here, so I'm not going to get too emotional. But it brings up a good discussion, which is formats for a golf tournament at your wedding. And it's also worth knowing that you are all playing in a pre-wedding little outing for you this
Golf
weekend.
Digest
so,
Bachelorette.
So let's go. Okay, so I had a tournament at my wedding. Stevie, you said you're not going to have one because you're getting married this summer as well.
Yeah, we'll probably play a little golf my wedding day, but...
But not like a tournament?
No, just like a kick and giggle.
Okay, and what's your skills?
Okay, well, I said it should be a scramble, 9-hole scramble. 18
right.
holes is too long because, like, you have people who play golf once a year that'll come out and play with a wedding group, and it's just, like, nobody wants that. So I was thinking, like, a 9-hole scramble is perfect because we have a really aggressive range of abilities,
mm-hmm.
spread out all the good players, and, like, it's fun for everyone. But a couple people were, like, I don't like scrambles because
right.
I haven't played this course before. It looks like a cool course. I want to play my own ball. So I was like,
and then I'm boycotting the wedding. Did they say that? That would be
yeah.
that would make the story so much better.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Thanks for the free golf, but
and one of
I don't
these people
like
was your
format.
Fiance.
Oh, John will be there. So we were talking about what is the perfect format. Like, is it more of a like captain and crew? Like everyone hits a drive, you pick the best one, and then you play your own ball out.
Well,
I don't,
first of all,
what do you guys
I think?
Think
if people are getting their panties in a twist about not playing their own ball at a wedding golf
right.
outing, they're probably
in Vermont
but,
in May.
And you're dead on right about the range of abilities. Because I always go back to my wedding where I was in the same mode where I was more stressed and focused on the wedding golf tournament than I was on the actual wedding. So I'm sort of soliciting everyone's handicaps and ability. And there was like a friend of my mother-in-law who wanted to play. And it was unclear to me how much golf he played. So I said, oh, okay, well, great. Well, you know, I'd love to have you. What's your handicap? And he's like, oh, I'm like an 18. I'm like, oh, 18. That's great.
Hey,
we can work with that. And then I realized he thought 18 meant the number of strokes he shoots over 100. So that's what he meant. So that
different math.
I've never heard of that definition
before. That part didn't go well. So
wait, what was your format, did you say?
Mine was just a two-man. I should probably have prepared this for the – I think it was definitely. I definitely played my own ball. I think it was a two-man stroke play, but you know, best ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I feel like everyone needs to be kind of good for that to work.
Well, you have to be better than shooting 118.
That too.
And you're trying to get everyone around for you know a reception and like a nice barbecue with your family, like.
Yeah, there's a the party starts at 6:30, people. Yeah. So
this is and this is day of or day of your wedding?
No, this is day before. This is Friday.
Oh, you're playing it so safe because I literally played the day of my wedding. I
my
played
brother
18
did
holes.
That.
Right.
I'm gonna do that too.
And I was late.
God.
And I was late.
See?
To, yes.
You were late.
Late. Literally, like,
not
to
surprised.
The point where I had no place to, like, I was rushing home to shower, and then I got kicked out of my room because, you know, you have your whole, you can't see your wife
right.
or beforehand, so I had to find another place to shower, literally, on my own wedding day. So
this Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, this
about
is not
this.
Surprising
yeah,
at all. There was another format that someone brought up that I hadn't heard of, which sounded interesting, where you have one ball and, like, you make it be, like, a different color. It's, like, pink or whatever. And so three people in your group will play a scramble, and one person has to play the pink ball,
mm-hmm.
like that hole by themselves. And you switch every hole who plays that ball. So you're writing down two scores for every hole. This the group of three scramble score and the single person.
This sounds like a golf wedding slash gender reveal for
exactly.
And then the golf ball explodes.
Also, this is why we're getting married. Anyway.
Right.
Oh God, no, mom, that's not. If you're listening.
Your mom is
That's right. Okay, so let's move on. So you sound like you have it. I think your instincts are right. Scramble is the best
way to go.
Straight
up scramble?
And all the haters.
It's all about keeping it fun.
By the way,
yeah.
Scramble, you're still playing your own ball. Like, you're still going to hit a shot every time. It's actually the perfect format. I think the scramble is way underrated.
And if the problem is not finishing every hole, like playing your own ball, go play more golf. This isn't like about
you. Don't
you
don't have
it's
anything
about
to do Saturday morning. It is about
Keeley. It's about
Keeley.
Celebrating
right.
Keeley
yes.
and not about your hole that you have to record in your handicap.
Thank you so much.
There you go. All right, moving on. We're going to go. This is Alex always does the categories or awards at the end of the week. So a couple of those coming up. We miss Alex. This is tough. So Alex, I hope he's listening. Golfers are just like us. That goes to Chris Wardrop, who is the high school golfer who made 10 on the opening hole of a tournament.
Whew.
So that part I can very much relate to.
Mm-hmm.
But still won
really?
Still won by 6 shots. I don't know.
When's the last time you made a 10?
10's big. Well, the thing is that
double
if you're playing
digits.
In a tournament.
Steve, yesterday.
Yeah, Steve.
Friday at Valhalla, the 6th
hole. Oh, the little Valhalla drop. Oh,
yeah.
Hey, subtle.
That ravine, that hole with the ravine that separates the fairway.
But Will, I mean, Will. Stevie, that's my son. Equitable stroke control. You shouldn't be taking a 10 anyway.
Well, you know, you're at one of Valhalla's famous holes. You're going to try to finish out.
This is why you can't have 18 holes at your wedding, because guys insist on playing every shot.
It wasn't my wedding this week.
Anyway.
We know.
Yeah. Going on. So, again, the guy makes 10 on the opening hole, but he somehow gets himself together to shoot 270, and then the next day shot 66 and won the tournament.
This kid's a beast.
That's
amazing.
Exceptionally resilient performance.
How is a player of that caliber putting like 3 balls OB off the first tee also?
I mean,
well, I guess he's like 16.
You know,
I can't
make
a
ball plugs in the bunker and you can't get it out. And, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at a 10. That's competitive golf.
Right. And the other part of the
Tennessee dropping knowledge on competitive golf.
Right. Right. Yes, right.
No big deal.
Says the guy who made a 10 at Valhalla this week.
It was a 13, actually. It was higher than a 10.
Oh, my God.
How did you like keep track?
Well, you count them up after. Three in the ravine. One was up on the right, so you kind of just chuck it
out.
Did
you post a score? You can't post a score with that. You cannot, because you're sandbagging.
Right now.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we had this conversation.
Steve Hennessy's no sandbagger,
that's
first
right.
of all, listeners.
Vanity handicap?
Count them all.
But that's the same. Well, if you're counting them all, this is an instance of sandbagging, because your handicap is being inflated.
I didn't post it yet.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Nothing has been posted.
I'd like to be standing next to your computer while you post the score.
We'll go over the card.
Okay. We'll do it now.
You.
It's good podcasting.
Yes.
His first hole drive was right.
Yeah. It's great. Great content. Okay. Moving on. Stat of the week, which was courtesy of our own E. Michael Johnson and his account of Se Young Kim, or his winner's bag of Se Young Kim. She has won 8 times on the LPGA Tour, 4 of which won a playoff, and all 4 times was on the first hole of the playoff.
What a
Which,
killer.
That is such intimidation factor. So I guess my question is, to what extent do you think the other players were aware of that? Every time she goes to a playoff, she wins on the first hole.
I don't think that they knew that at all.
But I bet now they do. Because
now they do.
4 times is incredible. And to do it on the first hole.
First hole?
Insane.
Well, also, we're talking about on the Golf Digest podcast, so it suddenly reached critical mass.
Very, very legit. Yeah, no, I don't think they knew.
But now this was like a very significant playoff in terms of LPGA Tour wise. So I think this will be out there now. That is an intimidation factor.
That's amazing.
Really,
I don't think anyone's has a record like that. That's remarkable.
She's an absolute killer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
amazing.
You said though she kind of botched her way into the playoff, but that's secondary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that happens.
All right, let's turn our attention now to this week, which is the 2019 AT&T Byron Nelson, and being played at Trinity Forest. It's the second year at Trinity Forest, and maybe it's just me, but Trinity Forest is such a unique venue on tour. It might be the most unique venue on tour.
Yes.
And I feel, and this could be completely talking out of my whatever, but it feels like somewhat of a good prep course for Bethpage Black. Steve is one of our course gurus. Is there any validity to that? Or
I would disagree a bit. I think sort of the knock on Trinity Forest is it's been too dissimilar of a setup for Bethpage. There's no trees at all on the course, unlike Bethpage, where there's a lot of holes that the trees frame it. The greens are also very contoured and very unique than any other event on tour, whereas Bethpage's greens are pretty flat.
Yeah, they are. That's kind of the knock on Bethpage Black for sure.
And I think tour pros don't really like the uncertainty that they see at Trinity Forest, because you really have to use the contours and play certain shots, use the ground for a lot of your approaches. Unlike any course on tour, it's a faux links, but it plays like a links course. So I think, I mean, the field is okay, but I think that's why you're seeing a weak field, is because it's really not that good of a prep for the PGA in that regard.
So among the guys playing, of course, Brooks Koepka is playing, who we spoke to, is the favorite at 7-1 odds. And Jordan Spieth is playing because it's basically a home game. That's where where his teacher, Cam McCormick, is based. He's the director of instruction, I believe. So picks for this week, Keeley?
I'm going to go with Brooks.
Because wow, there's really going on a limb there.
I know, really going out. Yeah. I know. Well, I had this really long stretch of every time I interviewed someone, they won the next week.
Right.
So I just interviewed him, so he's a lock.
But when he wins, the next thing you have to say is, Brooks, this is not at all going to help you for Bethpage Black, because Steve says there's no similarities.
We'll have to set up another interview then.
But so I'll disagree with myself, because Trinity Forest really rewards good shots, and you have to have complete control of your golf ball, the way the fairways all roll, the movement. And then into the greens, you know, it's going to reward the best player that week. So that should translate to Bethpage. It's just in a different course variety. So I agree with you there.
Okay.
My pick would be Brendan Grace.
Ooh.
He plays well on links-style courses, keeps his ball low if it gets windy. We saw that last year with Mark Leishman, who lost to Aaron Wise. But, you know, he's a great wind player, Australian. And you have to hit it pretty far. Brendan Grace isn't the farthest on tour, but he's been playing very well the last month or so, controlling his golf ball, so I'll go with him.
What's his odds?
He's at 33-1, so not too bad.
Good value.
He's in the top 10 in terms of lowest odds this week. So, like I said, not the best field.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and continuing with that, by the way, just as a thought, I'm not picking Brooks Koepka this week, but I do think we'll get to the PGA next week. Brooks Koepka will dominate at Bethpage Black.
Be so sick.
I think that course is so well suited for him.
Yeah, I like Rory too.
Rory as well, especially as it's so soft right now, and everyone says, you know, when soon as
guys, we just talked about this. We can't put pressure on Rory anymore.
Okay, that's right.
Come
on, that's your rule, not our
rule. I want to see Rory win.
Yeah, my pick this week is Henrik Stenson. Speaking of guys who play well on links style courses, obviously a former Open champion, so 24-1 odds. You know, one of the great ball strikers in the game. What?
Speaking of odds, Tony Romo, 1,001 odds.
How do you not put $10 on that?
We're 50 cents, right?
50 cents.
There's got to be odds to make the cut. What are those?
That's a good question. I mean, it has to be the 100-1 variety, if not higher. Maybe 500-1.
Yikes.
You think it's that high for making the cut? I mean, I guess you're right.
You know.
Yeah. He's never sniffed a cut on the PGA Tour or even a web.com. I mean, a web.com tour.
Right.
So.
Right.
Fair enough.
That'll be interesting, the debate. You know, if he misses the cut by a lot, we'll again pick up, you know, why is the tour doing this? But he's a Dallas guy. People are going to go out to watch him. So.
For sure.
Totally.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, plenty to look forward to this week. And, of course, next week with the PGA Championship and, of course, with Keeley's wedding, which is we're going to have a whole separate Keeley Levin's wedding podcast.
Break it down.
Five-episode series.
It'll be good. It'll be good. Kind of an investigation. anyway, thank you to Brooks Koepka for his time this morning. Thank you for Keeley for getting up to talk to him.
No problem. Thanks
to Steve for not throwing up while hungover during the podcast. Check back next week to see who our guest is.
You were never going to mention that I was at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, we should talk about it.
No, he said.
Well, I mean, just like in the outro, say that's the reason why I was going to throw up. Like, it just makes me sound like a complete alcoholic.